The number of federal employees under age 30 drops from 9% of the workforce to 6.6% over the last 5 years. And the number of employees under the age of 25 is down from 2% of the federal workforce to 0.9%. That's according to the 2014 Best Places to Work analysis from the Partnership for Public Service and Deloitte. Tim McManus is Vice President for Education and Outreach at the Partnership and talking about recruiting the next generation. I mean, Tim, those are, our hair should be on fire numbers. I didn't know until I read this analysis that the situation for under 30s and especially under 25s was so dire. That's really terrible, I think.
Yeah, it is horrendous, and I think actually the surprise there is as you look at the drop, we've known that under 30 there's been a gap within the federal workforce compared to overall U.S. workforce, but I think ultimately it's not simply that it's well below what it would be in the U.S. workforce as a whole, but the fact that it is dropping is of real concern, and it really is time that we all pay attention to it and try to figure out how to fix it.
The under 30 figure fell by a third, and the under 25 figure fell in half. I mean, it would be different if these were big, robust numbers, maybe, and you could go, well, we still have 32% of the population, 32% of the workforce, but these are minuscule already.
Yeah, so let's look at what that also means in terms of numbers. So sometimes when you look at percentages, you go, well, if they were big percentages already, you'd drop a third. It's not such a big deal. Number one, as you point out, it was only at 9.1%, and it dropped to 6.6%. So big reduction there in terms of percentage. But if you look at from 2010 to 2015, that represents 45,000 employees that you lost, 45,000 people fewer. People who are under 30 years old now than in 2010. So in a market that actually is a percent of the workforce is actually growing.
It's really amazing. I'm just crunching the numbers here, and I use 2.1 million federal employees as the number. I'm in the ballpark, right?
Yeah, you're in the ballpark.
So
yeah.
That's the number of under 30s. The federal government lost 126,000 people under the age of 30 between 2010 and 2015, as you say, at a time when the percentage of the workforce overall, that age cohort's increasing.
Yes. Yeah. And again, I think, this is an interesting conversation because I think ultimately the first course of action for a lot of agencies and a lot of people within government is, well, the workforce, the federal government workforce has actually changed, and it has. You and I have had those types of conversations before. You know, we've not so much gradually, but there have been gradual and then rapid changes kind of in the workforce and the type of jobs that actually are contained within the federal workforce. It is a much more professional workforce now than it had been, in the 60s, 70s, even in the 80s. But with that as well, so some will make the argument, well, with that also is a requirement for more advanced degrees, more specialization, more experience, everything else. Some of those arguments may in fact hold true in certain occupations and within certain agencies. But I think, Francis, again, when it's dropped precipitously across government as it has, we can't simply say this is an issue of more specialization and the requirement for more advanced degrees and everything else. And by the way, for a lot of folks, they're coming out with advanced degrees in their 20s and early 30s as well. So that, again, it doesn't fully equate.
Yeah, there's a whole lot here that doesn't seem to add up, Tim. One of the issues that I think is striking here is you and I have talked about pathways until we're blue in the face, and yet it's not happening. I mean, all of the facilitation that the government is trying to do to bring young people in to the government is not working nearly to the degree that it should. Or maybe the other side of the coin is the case, and we should decide, well, because of the nature of these jobs and because of the nature of the changes of the workforce that you just accurately laid out, maybe it's not realistic for us to assume that we're ever going to have a large cohort of under 30s. However, the human resources hiring system is still built to hire people earlier in their careers, have them stay in at least the government, if not one agency, for 182 years, and then have them retire when they are eligible to retire. That doesn't work in this model either. So either way that we decide we're going to look at the workforce effective August 2015, we're skewed the wrong direction, it seems to me. Is my observation off there?
No, I think that's exactly right. And Francis, I think one of the other observations that this snapshot actually points out as well, or that I'm going to make with this snapshot, and you talked about pathways and maybe the underutilization of pathways as a way to bring in talent, younger, more inexperienced, probably not as, you know, right out of college and university or still in college and university as it pertains to the internship program, and develop them. And that's the key, is you actually have to develop talent through those courses. If you look at some of the broader best places to work analysis that's actually contained in here around some of the talent management trends, particularly under training and development. Let me read two quick things. Less than half of all federal employees surveyed in 2014 reported being satisfied with the training they receive. That's one piece. Second is, quote, discussions with my supervisor about my performance are worthwhile, end quote, have hovered around 58% for the past decade. If you look at those two things, I think it's also putting a different light on this whole issue of bringing in younger, more inexperienced talent, which is that's not government's mode. They're not actually providing good training. They're not providing good development. They're not providing good coaching. They're not providing good supervision in general. And therefore, your initial inclination is not to bring in somebody younger, less experienced. You want to actually bring in somebody that you don't actually feel like you have to train and develop.
The problem there, though, is these people have never done this kind of work before.
Correct. I mean,
they're coming in cold from colleges, and they're going to have an option of going into a private sector organization for which they've received training and education and then be groomed into the ways of that organization, or they're going to come into the government and get a whole bunch of nothing, it sounds like, training-wise,
exactly
right. At least.
Yes, exactly right.
And so what's the attraction there? I mean, what's the word of mouth that gets around before too long about the opportunities that are available when somebody decides what their options are going to be as they're getting out of school? I imagine it's not very positive on the government's part.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and I think so. Francis, again, to the dilemma here. So you've got a big gap in your under 30, and if you look at under 25, it's basically non-existent. Less than 1% of the federal workforce is under 25. So you've got an aging demographic. You're not bringing in folks younger, less experienced. Overall, you're not providing training and development opportunities that they're looking for. You really, really have to start focusing on these things in a consequential way. And again, pathways are one of those ways in, but it's not the only way in. And again, I think the other key in here as well is how long before somebody says that they're actually going to leave. Again, you know, you look at this and the folks who say they're most satisfied with the work of their agency is within the first 1 to 3 years that they're there, and it never reaches that point again in their tenure. So again, I think, you know, there's something good that agencies can take from that, which is, wow, we've actually made a really good impression on folks, and we've gotten them in and they're really satisfied. How do you keep them satisfied? How do you keep them engaged longer term? Again, that training and development piece actually comes in. Recognition, another piece that we've talked about frequently as well, that you actually have to kind of you can't just bring somebody in and say, okay, we've got the person we need, and they're going to stay here forever.
Using the number 2.1 million federal employees right now, I get 18,900 employees under the age of 25. That's pitiful. I mean, that's almost embarrassing. I don't know how else to frame it, and I don't expect you to have a response to that, Tim. It's just something to put out there and think about how dire this situation really is, it doesn't strike me that there's time for analysis and fooling around and thinking about it. It's time to do something, I believe.
Francis, you're exactly right. It is time to do something about it. And what that really means is you agencies have to look at, yes, there may be, if you have a GS-12 leave, you may in fact have to bring in another GS-12. You may have to do that. But you also may want to take a good look, and we've talked about this repeatedly as well, that when somebody leaves, what do you really need to fill? What's the position? The job has changed. Everything has changed around you. Probably take a look at really what that means. And again, I think we don't do a good enough job with that. More importantly, I think ultimately some of the hiring process itself is skewed. This is where Pathways really comes into play, which is the competitive hiring system. By and large, is actually focused on demonstration of experience. If you're a young person with very little experience, you don't stand much of a chance to the competitive hiring system.